On this episode of Skeptico, Father Rod Walton, author of Bereavement Rescue with Near-Death Experience.
Most people, once you actually give them evidence, like I often use Ken Ring's book, Mindsight, you know, people have been born blind. They don't even dream. They only dream, I think, in smell, taste, and touch. When they realize that, you know, this doesn't add up, people are seeing for the first time when they're clinically dead. It's madness. There's only one reason they could see is if there's continuity of life. So hard evidence like that, they're getting hope based on facts rather than just sort of perhaps is an if and pie in the sky.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris. This show, Skeptico, has always been about following the data. That's been kind of our tagline. Just follow the data and you'll find your way through these controversial, unsettling breakthroughs in science, and you'll come to a new understanding about who you really are. That's the theme of this show, if you will. But today's interview with Rod Walton got me thinking about what it really means to follow the data. And in particular, the data behind near-death experience science, a topic we've covered a lot on this show. As you know, we've spoken with some of the world's leading researchers, and we've spoken with some of the leading critics as well. And I guess when I follow that data, at the end of the day, I don't see how a reasonable person can look at that body of data and just say, gee, it's all delusion, it's all fraud, it's all misreporting. I mean, blind people seeing, patients reporting with crystal clear consciousness what happened to them while they were clinically dead, and doctors and nurses confirming that. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of cases like that. And I think if you take the position that, hey, that isn't really happening, or it's somehow, like I say, fraud or delusion, well, then you're not even following the data, and the rest of this probably won't mean much to you. But what's interesting to me is, what if you do follow the data to that point? What if you've read some of the research, read some of the books, the accounts, and you've gotten to the point where you say, wow, you know, it sure does seem like there's something there. There is something to this near-death experience. It is happening. It is medically unexplainable. It does seem to suggest that consciousness survives death. Well, what about then? Are you following the data? Or does following the data in this case, in the case of talking about consciousness surviving death, you not really dying when you think you die, does that kind of data and following of that kind of data require something more? Well, it did, and it does, for today's guest, Father Rod Walton. As you'll hear in this interview, Rod was familiar with the near-death experience research. But it wasn't until he hit a bump in the road in his life, in this case, the loss of a loved one, and experienced deep, profound bereavement, that he used the knowledge, the data, to dig himself out of that hole, and then to go on and try and help others follow in the same course of recovery that he did. It's a fascinating story, and Rod's a real interesting guy. So stay with me for Rod Walton, author of Bereavement Rescue with Near-Death Experience. We're joined today by Father Rod Walton, a Catholic priest who runs the Bereavement Rescue Center in the UK and is the author of Bereavement Rescue with Near-Death Experience. Rod, thank you for joining me today on Skeptico.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Now, Rod, I first came across your work when you posted a message on the Skeptico website in response to an interview we had with Dr. Michael Marsh.
That's correct.
And he's a physician and theologian from Oxford who's very skeptical of the near-death experience. And you offered quite a different perspective from the work you've done in Bereavement Rescue. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Bereavement Rescue has been going now approximately 5 years. It started with me, losing my mother. I was devastated. But I've been studying near-death experiences for 30 years. I realized immediately the pain was diminishing because I actually had hope based on evidence, not just, you know, pie in the sky. And I thought, well, I can't believe it. The pain was getting less and less and the hope was getting more and more. Then I had my hair cut and I met a barber who now become very good friends, who had just lost his father. He invited me out for a meal, pumped me for about 2 hours. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You've answered all my questions." And the same response, and he started to heal. That was the beginning of Bereavement Rescue.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your book and what you go into in the book and how that has grown from your work in Bereavement Rescue.
Yeah, the book is written by myself and Dr. Caroline Wilkins, who is a physicist. The book basically starts from square one, telling you all the problems you're going to have when you actually go into bereavement. So immediately you read it, you're thinking, yes, I can respond to that. You don't want to eat, you don't want to go out, you don't want to get up in the morning, etc., etc. Then we build up on what to do, the very simple practical stuff, you know, how to get the funeral, how to go about paperwork, etc. Then we get into the real nitty-gritty of near-death experiences. We give the statistics between, like, there are now, I think, 2 to 20% of cardiac arrest patients survive. 10 to 20% report near-death experiences. And we use them like evidence in a court. All these people are witnesses, exactly the same as if they'd have witnessed a murder, which means, as far as I can see, and I spent 25 years as a policeman before becoming a priest,
really?
Evidence is important. These people are witnesses. And they all tell 99% the same story. They've got to be taken seriously.
I think that's interesting, and that's really the point that I wanted to drill into here. And that's the interface between science and a scientific approach that is evidence and theology and belief and spirituality. In your post, one of the things you said is, Jesus said the truth will set us free. That's something we all have heard. And then you go on and say, we must keep searching for the truth. There's nothing to fear for the truth. This near-death experience science is a great opportunity. The church must embrace what NDEs are teaching us. Now, of course, I could not agree more. And part of the reason I was so motivated to talk with you. At the same time, Father Walton, I mean, I think we have to acknowledge that seeing NDE science in the way that you do, and which is the only way I think you can really see it, really requires a radical reimagining of Christian doctrine, at least the Christian doctrine that most of us are familiar with. How do we get there? How do you bridge that gap? Because I'm sure you encounter many Christians who have as many reservations as probably secular, atheistic-minded people who encounter this radical, spiritual, I am going to go and experience God and go to heaven and all the rest of that.
Yeah, in fact, I would say, to be quite honest with you, more Christians, and the skeptics are easier than the Christians.
Yeah, right, right.
But, I mean, you can't read the Bible without seeing the near death. I mean, like Jesus says, you know, I don't want to quote the Bible, but a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Then he goes on to say, you know, but tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. It's love, love, love. And again, when he said, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and it goes on. And they couldn't understand. And he says, I say to you, and as much as you've done it to one of these, you've done it to me. It shows the interconnectedness of us all, which again, the near-death experience seems to give over.
Again, totally agree. I don't have any problem with that. But let's go back to the point that you made about how Christians often have a harder time dealing with the full implications of near-death experience than atheists who've already kind of rejected the kind of the hard, fast, fundamentalist dogma and have kind of freed themselves from that and then can reimagine what you're saying in a different way. But how do we get over that stumbling block? Because I think when you say that the church needs this heavy dose of the truth, I'm there with you. And I have to say, just from a personal note, you know, I just started going back to church within the last year, and it took me a long time to kind of overcome just the nonsense that I saw there and to go back to church. And I live in a very liberal area of the United States, Southern California, you know, beach community. You can't get much more liberal than that. I go to a Presbyterian church, which is pretty liberal, and I fully expected to see more open-mindedness. And I don't. I see a lot of still very literal interpretation of Christian doctrine and folks who would be very, I think, reticent to make the leap that you've made. So maybe two questions there. One, how did you make the leap? Was it just because you experienced this bereavement with your mother? Is that what pushed you over that edge or through that tunnel, if you will? Or were you already there? And then secondly, how do you see your experience relating to kind of the general Christian experiences?
Getting back to the first question, I had the knowledge of the near-death experience. I've been studying it right the way from Raymond Moody's, following all the work, Peter Fenwick, Bruce Grayson, etc., etc. When my mother died, I had a tremendous experience spiritually. In fact, I became a priest after my mother died. It was the catalyst, and I read the Bible, and all of a sudden it opened up, and I thought, wow, everything the near-death people were saying was adding up to the Bible. Jesus was actually saying, and the more I read Scripture, the more I thought, this, you know, and I find that many people read Scripture and don't really understand it. But as Erhard Storm said when he went, I think, to Bible college after his near-death experience, he was already trained theologically prior to getting to the Bible college.
And how do you think that your experience squares with the Christian community in large, as you encounter them, because you encounter them every day?
Yes. I think a lot, not all by any means, but a lot of Christian community have great tunnel vision. They are looking in a straight line. They don't look left and they don't look right. Now, Jesus said, you know, seek, search, knock, and it shall be, you know, I don't think they're searching. I don't think they're seeking. I think they're just following tradition and dogma. Well, I feel that religion and Christianity is entirely different. Religion is often man-made, whereas Christianity is literally, you know, the teachings of Jesus, the way, I think. It was called the way initially.
Yes, I think that's an interesting point, and I hope to get into that in the future. I do have to say it still presents a lot of problems with folks, because if we are going to drill into New Testament writings and really understand what was said and what wasn't, it still has all sorts of problems to unpack. And I think it's wonderful to hear someone just transcend that and just jump over it, which I think is the only way you can do in the
kind. You've got to.
At the same time, I think someone would keep coming back to the science. So whether it's the science of the Bible or it's the science of near-death experience, and how do we bridge those two? How do we take the best science from near-death experience and wed it to what we are, the science that we can glean from the spiritual experience? And what is that? How is that happening in the people that you encounter? Is there a transformation that people go through at the Bereavement Rescue Center?
Yes. I mean, all people really want, they want evidence. People are materialistic nowadays, and so ultimately evidence is a good thing. Most people, once you actually give them evidence, like I often use Ken Ring's book, Mindsight, you know, people have been born blind. They don't even dream. They only dream, I think, in smell, taste, and touch. When they realize that, you know, this doesn't add up, people are suing for the first time when they're clinically dead. It's madness. There's only one reason they could sue, is if there's continuity of life. So hard evidence like that, and so forth, they say, old tide, I'm willing to listen to this. And the message then comes over, because they're getting hope based on facts rather than just sort of perhaps is an if and pie in the sky.
Right. And what about when those same people turn back to the church then? Are they able to reimagine the church in a different way? Because I think that's hard. The church isn't totally supportive, are they? I mean, tell me from your experience, is the church supportive of the kind of work that you do and the kind of theology or the experience that you're leading people through?
I would say that some are actually scared. Right. Some are actually hesitant because it's new. No one likes anything new. But ultimately, I personally don't think it is new. I think we're actually retrieving what was lost.
Right. So that's not a problem for you personally in terms of...
No, I think it's an exciting time, actually. I think science is actually dovetailing with Christianity and science and religion and science is actually dovetailing together. And I think we've got to be open-minded, and we've got to do what Jesus said, seek, knock, and start embracing it, because it's fantastic.
I agree. Well, I think it's just wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing. Tell folks a little bit more about the Bereavement Rescue Center. What kind of folks are coming there? What the experience would typically be like? And other resources that people might have for overcoming this really can be a very crippling condition of bereavement.
Yeah, well, in the next 12 months, we're going to have a center. At the moment, we've been operating out in the community and people have been coming to us, but we're intending to build a large center. Now, it's going to be in the middle of the New Forest, all going to plan. There are going to be log cabins intentionally. It's going to be very holistic in an open environment where people can heal. We're going to have a center where hospice staff can come, where they can actually be given lectures, and doctors, medical staff can come if they feel like it. If we get some really bad cases where some people obviously are suicidal, we're willing to take them in and have them there for a week, discuss with them, get witnesses, i.e. ND people to come and speak to them, show them videos, and ultimately bombard them with the evidence for NDEs. This is our aim, so they go out with a new paradigm.
What about other resources for folks who aren't there in the UK and might not have access to physically come to your location?
Yeah, well, we've got the book. We've got a website, as you know, and obviously they can always phone us up, because what we're doing now, obviously we're starting off from a local area. If someone passes away, we're actually offering real practical help. We go there, we take them to the hospital to actually collect the deceased goods and bits and pieces. We'll go and arrange the funeral for them. Because I knew when I first lost somebody, if you're doing it for the first time, wow, it's mind-boggling. At a time when you actually can't put your mind to anything.
Right.
So we're embracing the whole of the bereavement problem.
Well, I think it's just wonderful, wonderful work, and I congratulate you on doing it, and I just applaud your efforts.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, Father Walton. Best of luck.
Thanking you, and God bless you.
Thanks again to Rod Walton for joining me today on Skeptico. If you'd like more information about this show or any of our previous shows, please visit the Skeptico website. It's at skeptiko.com, like skeptic, but change the C to a K-O. There you'll also find an email, Facebook link to me, a link to our forums where you can get involved and dialogue with other listeners and readers of the show. I have a very interesting debate on near-death experience coming up on the next episode of Skeptico. I think you'll like that. And some other interesting interviews coming up. So stay with me for that. And until next time, bye for now.